Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Bucks signed running back Shady McCoy. That's right, LeSean McCoy, to a one-year contract. We'll tell you why he's in Tampa Bay. And if you want to buy a ticket to see Tom Brady, well, you're probably out of luck, unless you're already a season pass member. But even then, you got to hope for an individual game ticket. The SEC announced they will play only 10 games within their conference. That season begins September 26. No Florida State game for the first time since the 50s. And we've got a special treat for you. Remember Last Chance U, the Netflix series that began with East Mississippi Community College? Well, a star from that 2016 team, John Franklin, who played at Florida State, EMCC, Auburn, and FAU, is now with the Bucks trying to make it as a receiver. You'll hear my conversation with John Franklin on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. And Steve, we got some catching up to do a little bit since I've last talked to you. The Tampa Bay Lightning had their first exhibition game and just rolled over the Florida Panthers 5-0. A couple goals by Kucherov and Braden Point, right?
Braden Point was flying.
Whew. He was.
He looks, and everyone wants to say he looks faster. I think he's healthy.
Yeah. And
if you remember at the beginning of last season, he had hip surgery, a double hip surgery, I believe, before the season.
Really? Really?
And remember, because he signed late. He was a restricted free agent. He didn't sign until very late. And then they announced he was going to miss some games. And he came back pretty quick. But I don't think he was 100% healthy. And I think this, you know, and he played through the season, and he played well. But I think this 4 months off, I think his hips are finally healthy. And, boy, is he flying. I mean, he was showing it in training camp, too. Just flying up and down the ice. And he was doing that again the other day. Interesting, you know, I mean, Hedman and Stamkos didn't play in the exhibition game. But they did play eight defensemen, and quite frankly, they all played well. Luke Shen played well. Braden Coburn played well. It's going to be an interesting decision that they have of who's going to play alongside Victor Hedman, essentially, as a sixth defenseman, whether it's Jan Ruda or is it Zach Bogosian, or does Coburn or Shen get in the mix there?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a good problem to have because they played well, and I thought, you know, not for nothing, but Andrei Vasilevskiy looked pretty darn good throwing a shutout at him the first time on the ice. So
yeah, I mean, Florida really didn't have a lot. I mean, the Lightning's defense was pretty much locked
they didn't
down.
Have a lot of
although
chances.
They gave away three breakaways, and Vasilevskiy stopped all three, which is ultimately you want your defense to not give them any scoring chances, which is what the Lightning did. But then when they do get one, your goalie needs to make a play, and Vasilevskiy did three times.
Well, I don't know what you can really take from an exhibition game. I mean, you know, if you're Florida. I know Joel Quenneville wasn't very happy with their effort, but they looked like they were in mud a little bit, which can also be expected. Mm-hmm. But once they got on the ice, you know, even though there were no fans, I mean, the players said it felt like a hockey game, and they competed. And you know, if from the Lightning standpoint, it was a nice start to what's going to be now. I guess they start with the play-in games. They have three of those. And then we'll find out where their seeding is, and they'll go on to the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, their next game is Monday at 4 p.m. against the Capitals. So,
something to look forward to. It was great seeing hockey again, along with the NBA, which is started last night. And, of course, we've got plenty of Buccaneer news and football news in general. Let's start with kind of in reverse order, I guess. Shady McCoy, this happened sort of late on Thursday. LeSean McCoy, who's now 32 years old, he's played a long time. He was a second-round pick way back when of the Philadelphia Eagles, then went on to the Buffalo Bills for a long time. Last year was with the Kansas City Chiefs. Didn't see the ball very much. I think the most carries he had in a game was 12. And, in fact, he did not even play in the postseason. He was part of that Super Bowl team. But nonetheless, really didn't have much of a role. The Bucks, reached what I imagine is a pretty cap-friendly deal for Shady McCoy, and there'd been speculation as to whether or not they would sign another running back. I think what kind of sealed this decision to add a guy, especially a veteran player, was the fact that there was no offseason, and you know that meant that you figure Ronald Jones is coming in as the incumbent as the starter. Somebody would have to beat him out. They drafted Keyshawn Vaughn in the third round out of Vanderbilt, and they're really, I'm telling you, they're sky high on this guy. But by the same token, you know, he hasn't been out there. So, and now he, you know, is on the reserve COVID list, so he's going to get an even slower start to the season. So if you had an injury to something that happened to Ronald Jones, you're down to Dare Ogunbowale, you know. And that's just not a good place to be if you're trying to win a Super Bowl with Tom Brady, who uses his running backs a lot in the passing game. We've mentioned many times that the last 5 years alone, he's thrown over 100 completions to running backs on his team. So I just think that this was one of those moves that, you know, McCoy wants to play, come back for one more season, try to win a Super Bowl with Brady and Gronkowski. You know, and you know, when he's been out there, he's always been productive. He's always had a nice rushing average. And, of course, you know, the great years that he had, he's made 6 Pro Bowls, which is unbelievable. You know, he led the league in rushing one time, you know, for the Eagles. So, you know, I get the move. I don't know if he makes the football team. A lot will depend on the development of, you know, of Vaughn and the health of everybody. But, you know, it was kind of surprising. I mean, Devontae Freeman is out there. He's asking, I guess, for a little too much money. The Bucs have no cap room. So this is about the best they could do. Also, the last couple of days, we finally had a chance to catch up with Cameron Brate. You know, on, I guess it was Wednesday, he did what amounted to a PSA for, you know, the Buccaneers, and it was sort of encouraging people that have been had COVID and survived it to go donate blood plasma, of course, which helps many times in the recovery of patients who aren't so fortunate, have a lot of symptoms and some that are hospitalized. And in doing so, of course, on Instagram, he posted that he had tested positive for COVID himself. And, of course, that raised a lot of eyebrows and some alarm bells because Cameron Brate was a fixture at those workouts at Berkeley Prep with Tom Brady and more than a dozen of his teammates. And they had done that for several months. And so, obviously, the questions were, you know, and we had talked about this. We know the NFLPA wanted them to stop those workouts, and not just the Bucs, but everybody, because they thought it was unsafe. And the Bucs had a player test positive, had a coach. Brady was very defiant. They didn't stop. They kept going. You know, he had the Instagram post, you know, nothing to fear but fear itself and all of that. Well, it was about that time several months ago in the midst of those workouts that Brate's fiance, Brooke Skelly, who used to work for the Bucs, she's now in marketing and communications for the Super Bowl host committee. She tested positive. She kind of, you know, gave it to him, and he was kind of, you know, funny about that. He's always hold that over her head, but
that's a nice engagement gift.
Yeah, right. So here you go, honey. So she had to go in and get tested before. She also teaches a spin class, so they tested her before she went back to do that, and she was positive. And then, you know, Cam originally tested negative, didn't have any symptoms, and then he got a couple of the loss of smell and taste and things like that, and he in fact was positive. He said, you know, it's kind of scary to think that, you know, had I not really known or had a reason to test, I could have shed that virus and gotten other people infected, and so including a few of his teammates. But, you know, he said it was a calculated risk that they took in the off season to work out. They weren't the only ones. As he pointed out, they're probably the only team that a helicopter kept flying over and photographing them. So that was different. But, you know, this is what can happen. And, you know, Brate's also concerned that not just with his teammates, but that, you know, there's a lot of people over at the Advent Healthcare Training Center that are not in football, and hopefully they won't be coming in contact with players. But, you know, you worry about coaches, you worry about Bruce Arians and you know, some of the guys over there, and you know, he just hopes they're safe. And but no problems with Cam. You know, I guess the good news is he's had the virus. You don't really know if he can catch it again. There's still a lot that's unknown about this, but you know, it was very fortunate that he didn't have, you know, worse symptoms. Speaking of the Bucs, their ticket policy came out. Well, not really their policy. I guess it's bad news that if you don't have a season ticket pass, you have no chance really of seeing the Bucs this year unless you buy a ticket on the secondary market, basically sold by a season ticket pass member, because they are going to play with a reduced capacity seating, which is not unsurprising. You know, it's not unsurprising, but they don't know what that number is. Is it 25%? Is it 50%? They'll have to wait and see when we get closer to the season what the governor and the local municipalities, Hillsborough County and such, decide, the Tampa Sports Authority. But they're not going to be able to honor season ticket pass members. And so basically they sent out a letter, Brian Ford did, the COO, explaining, you know, some of the details. Basically it comes down to this. If you want a chance to buy some single game tickets this year, pre-sale, if you will, you have to leave all your money in, you know, for 2020. They'll advance it all to 2021. They'll keep you signed up for that. And you have an opportunity. It'll be based on tenure. You have an opportunity to go ahead when they make those tickets available and, you know, and try to get them. Now, you know, will you be in your same seats? Not necessarily. They're going to try to keep people in the same areas. But there is, you know, there's a long list of things. You can go to TampaBay.com. A lot of questions I know people have. We try to do a Q&A in this thing. And, you know, the takeaway is that, as you can imagine, they had a lot of season ticket holders, a lot of bandwagon people, too, that are first-year ones. But, you know, basically, it's a tough. It was going to be a tough ticket. Now it's an even tougher ticket. And once these folks, you know, start selling some on the secondary market, I can well imagine what a game to, say, like the Kansas City Chiefs is going to cost. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, it was inevitable. And as the season goes along, there's a chance that maybe they'll get more, you know, the ability to have more people in the stadium. But right now, that's what they're doing. So check that out on TampaBay.com, or you can go to Buccaneers.com. Of course, the website will give you instructions for that. Speaking of games and fans and all of that, the SEC, and I think everybody in college football has been waiting for this. The SEC announced that they are indeed going to play a conference-only 10-game season, and that will begin September 26th. So what that means is that, you know, no Florida-Florida State game, which is a huge rivalry going back, you know, three or four decades. You know, the later start probably is a good idea, especially given, you know, some of the numbers we see in the southern states right now. What do you make of this, Steve? Is this a good idea? I mean, do we? It looks like they're going to, you know, take it to a championship, which has been moved back a little bit.
Well, for now they're doing that. I mean, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see long. I mean, this is what the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have already announced they were doing, although they didn't necessarily say they were pushing everything back that far.
Right.
But going to just conference games only, which does several things. One, it reduces some travel, although some of these conferences are spread out, but. Secondly, yeah. What it does allows you to control every aspect of it, because there's there's no commissioner, there's no, you know, a head of the NCAA that has any power really. The conferences control everything. So when you start playing teams from other conferences, you don't control the protocols, you don't control the testing, you don't control everything that goes along with a game. Now you've got a second party that you're dealing with. So I think at the end of the day, this is about minimizing risk and ultimately keeping control of the things you can control so that you don't have outbreaks like we've seen it with the Marlins at this point, and, you know, what you're hoping to avoid for other teams and sports. So, you know, I think it's ambitious to start on September 26th. I think they're going to try. It's going to be interesting. I mean, we know that a lot of the southern states where the SEC is where, you know, the spread is still pretty – it's still pretty I won't say out of control, but it's pretty high. I mean, the numbers every day are very high.
Well, we set a record in Florida in deaths for 3 days in a row.
Yeah. You know, so it's going to be interesting. I mean, I think they might be able – if they're going to play, they might be able to keep this schedule, but I don't think you're going to see fans in the stands.
Right. Yeah, well, look, we were a long way from knowing exactly how football is going to work in general, much less at the college level, where you also have the element of students and whether campuses are open and things like that. You know, we know Texas and some other schools and outside of the SEC have talked about playing with fans, but all of that seems pretty improbable right now. And for that matter, the NFL could change by the time we get to September. We don't know, but you know, we're day to day, and you know, the Bucs veterans are still over there trying to test and get in and see who can, you know, pass the COVID test.
You saw the Bills sent their rookies home.
Did they?
Yeah, they had five tests positive, I believe, so they sent their rookies home.
Wow. Well, that's not a good start to a training camp. And I think that, you know, when we talked earlier about McCoy, I think that's part of the problem. You know, you get these guys are going to miss time. So far, they haven't had any players opt out for the Bucs. They haven't had, you know, we'll see what happens to the veterans because they're just now coming in. It'll be August 1st and 2nd that you'll know the results of their two COVID tests and whether they have to put guys on the COVID list, the reserve COVID list for them. So, look, they're bound to, there's going to be a lot of cases. I mean, that's, I think that's inevitable, especially getting in. You know, once they're in, then it's up to the individual player. You know, if somebody steps out of line, goes to a bar, goes to a restaurant, catches it somewhere else and brings it into that building, and you could have it run through that, you know, especially in football. This is what we don't know. But I think, you know, you see what's happened in baseball, a non-contact sport where there is natural separation on the diamond in places. And, you know, I think they're up to 17 or 19 members of the Marlins, including players and coaches, and several members of the Phillies as well. So the spread is definitely real and it's definitely there. And that's when we talked to Brait, that's what kind of scares him a bit too. So football, we're taking it day by day, man. We're seeing the Bucs are supposed to, you know, they got the quarterbacks over there, got the rookies over there. Like I said, over the weekend, the veterans come in. We might have a chance to get out there a little bit for the strength and conditioning sessions. We'll tell you about that next week. But, yeah, I'm not incredibly optimistic with football. But we do have baseball. We do have the NBA cranking up, NHL, of course. And
with LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
For this podcast, we got kind of a special treat. So I had an opportunity to write a story and talk to John Franklin, who's probably not a household name unless you're a Netflix fan. If you are, if you watch the Netflix series Last Chance U, which is when it began, it was one of the first seasons. Coach Buddy Stevens, a colorful guy. You know, the junior college football really is Last Chance U because these are a lot of players that were stars in high school, many of them 4- and 5-star recruits that were recruited sometimes by big Division I schools all over the nation. Sometimes they go there and they're, you know, they either can't make the grades. Sometimes they couldn't make the grades and get in. But this is their opportunity to get looked at again, to keep their eligibility up, and hopefully, you know, move quickly back to where they came, which was a big Division I program. And so there's an awful lot of talent at some of these junior colleges, both in Mississippi and Kansas, primarily, where a lot of these football programs are. And, you know, John Franklin was a guy that was a star quarterback at Plantation High School in Fort Lauderdale. Big recruit. Went to Florida State. And, in fact, he was there as a true freshman in the year that they won the national championship with Jameis Winston. And he came as a quarterback. He's an incredible athlete. And he played quarterback in high school, although, you know, he'll tell you that he really didn't know much about playing quarterback. He did a lot with his athletic ability, ran the ball a lot, could throw it too, but sort of used his instincts more than understanding defenses and what they were trying to do and all that. He got better at it, though, when he was at Florida State. He learned a lot from Jimbo Fisher and Jameis Winston. And when they went to the national championship, you know, he had an opportunity to play the scout squad quarterback, you know, against their starting defense. And he did such a good job playing Nick Marshall that Florida State handled Auburn pretty well, and they credited John for, you know, for just how well he helped prepare them, which was his role. So he won a national championship ring there, but he realized, you know, Winston was back. It was going to be a while before he could play, and so he went the JUCO route. He went to this, you know, East Mississippi Community College, you know, in what I think it's Scoba, Mississippi. This place now, it's a long way from Division I and what you expect in terms of facilities and you know, the part of the country. And, you know, Jonathan is a South Florida kid, so he was, you know, 12 hours away from home. And It's a Spartan existence, to say the very least, and it's a cast of characters you can't believe. But this Netflix series is so good, and it and the power of television is incredible. I mean, before these guys, you know, had a chance to prove that they have any game, they had a ton of fame because you're a reality TV star. I mean, that's really what you are. And John Franklin, or J5 as they called him, coming in as the big Florida State transfer, was a huge part of this show. And he winds up not winning the starting job. He winds up being a backup for a while, gets into the final game because of an injury and scores 6 touchdowns in the first half. The whole thing ends up in a total brawl and just happened to be an Auburn recruiter that was there to see him that night. So sort of serendipitous, but goes from there to Auburn and then the FAU. At his pro day, you know, they want him to try out 5 different positions. His agent suggests at a request of the Chicago Bears that he try to play defensive back, which he had never played. Ends up on a practice squad there. Got to the Bucs last year as a defensive back. B.A. saw him, knew his history, switched him to offense, and now he's trying to make it as a receiver. So his story is incredible. He gets all kinds of IMs and correspondence from all over the world, people that were inspired by his resolve, his resilience to make it against incredible odds. And so you have a chance to listen to my interview with John Franklin, and then also go to TampaBay.com and the Tampa Bay Times and read that story that'll be posted up there sometime today, and it'll be in Sunday's paper. So without further ado, here's my interview with John Franklin, receiver of the Buccaneers.
You know, I know, you know, you came out of South Plantation High School and, you know, you go to Florida State. I mean, if I could just kind of walk you through all those experiences and sort of what's made you the guy you are today, just tell me what it was like beginning, you know, at Florida State, and then you wind up winning a national championship. I think you were the guy that was emulating Nick Marshall, getting them prepared for that, right?
Yeah. So, you know, that year I had redshirted James. That's the issue. He's going to be with one thing.
Right.
And I did. That was like my 4th year ever playing quarterback. So I was still, you know, real raw. I didn't even know how to read defenses like that.
Sure.
But I knew, you know, the basics of it. But sure. At high school, I was just an athlete out there. I was just the better athlete more times than not. And I relied on my instincts more than actually knowing what was really going on. I didn't really know football. So I got to Florida State. I give Jameis and Coach Rich a lot of credit for actually teaching me the game of football. And that's why I really, like, understand, like, oh, what this defender does and how do you attack this defense. And I can do protection, set my mic here. I know what makes me high and all that. I really learned the game from, a coach's mindset as far as. So, you know, that was very beneficial. I'm always thankful for that experience there because I really learned the game there, and then I had some personal, we won a natty, and then, you know, my role on the team during that first year was to just emulate every quarterback that we played against. And so that was my task. I did that, and I took that seriously because sure. I didn't want to be the reason that we lose. I mean, look at that season, we were undefeated, and I remember vividly even getting ready for the national championship, telling them, like, I was having a good week. I was like, look, we made every year all this way. But I took it up a little bit because it was the natty. And then, you know, Auburn was coming for having a good season, too. And then I knew the type of quarterback they played. I knew the weeks we played mobile quarterbacks that, you know, we were going to do. So that was fun for me. But just to know that, you know, after the game, the coordinator came over and they would tell me that, you know, they would have been prepared if it was anybody, if it wasn't me. Like, right. I don't know how, because I was faster, more elusive. And yeah. I remember Coach Pruitt, to this day, he's like, I never want to play against you, so he's glad that he had me. just by in practice. Like, yeah. Just by in practice. So, that, you know, to have, you know, nobody really gets to know that part because it's not the part that felt televised.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. You got to give them a look. And if you can't simulate or at least approximate the talent, you know, that those guys have, then they're not going to be prepared. You know, you just can't, you can't execute their offense.
Yes. So, you know, that's so good to me. And, you know, my teammates, you know, they thank me, right? It made it so much easier for them in the game to deal with.
Sure, sure.
To just my individual performance.
Sure.
You know, we on a scout team, you really, it's all carded. And then and the play really don't go like it's supposed to go all the time.
Right.
And that happens somewhere. So,
yeah.
To know that I had a big part of it, you know, making sure that they were prepared, they had it easier.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, starting off college, I felt like I earned the ring just as much as they did, you know?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. So then you go from there and go to East Mississippi Community College, and you're a quarterback again behind, I guess, Wyatt Roberts. You got a chance to play, had a pretty good game against Mississippi Delta, I guess, and just sort of again continued on your journey, right? I mean, and that had to be. I mean, that's not Florida State. It's not Tallahassee. So how tough was that? I mean, that junior college, and of course. That was also part of the Netflix series, you know, Last Chance U. We all watched that. So just describe that whole scene.
Junior college was, it was a life changer for me, to be 100% honest.
Yeah.
That's when I hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
That was the time where I grew the most as an individual, the most as a player.
Sure.
And really the most as a man. Like, it taught me how to survive.
Yeah, right.
I was all the way out of Mississippi by myself.
Right.
School was not easy. Every day, everybody got to go home, minus the six boys that were there from out of the state. So, you know, I had to really survive. I didn't have, you know, dinner was at 6. We got practice at 9. We only had, like, Subways and gas stations. So, how you going to eat? Like,
exactly.
That really just made me grow up and learn to do without less. And really, it really allowed me to focus. And it challenged me if I really wanted to do this forever, because I was at rock bottom. I was at a place where I hated football. Like, I was ready to just give it all up.
Sure.
And I really had to find my love for it. And that's what I really learned, you know, to make the most out of every chance or opportunity you got.
Yeah.
You know, like, every, you know, the cliche saying, control what you control. Like,
yeah.
As cliche as it is, that's probably one of the realest. Really saying ever.
True.
And that was, you know, I'm a living example. Like, I had no control. I knew I should have been a starter, but was I? No. So I could have, you know, I could have not prepared. I could have not took practice serious. Or I could have not just really focused on me and made me a better player. Like, I didn't play the past 2 years while I was at Florida State. So it was really for me to get my confidence back, get my mojo back before I go to another Division I school.
Yeah.
And you know, but that taught me to, you know, when the moment, always prepare, like, the moment is going to be there. Because, I mean, now I'm preaching a lot of kids that reach out to me. I'll be like, girl, like, your situation might not be what you wanted to, but you're going to get an opportunity.
Yeah.
What you do with it is on you. And you don't know when it's going to come. Like, I couldn't have planned that Mississippi Delta game, why it got hurt in the first quarter while I was there, and I get to go score 6 touchdowns before halftime. I couldn't plan that.
Right, right.
That wouldn't even have been part of my dream. I would have been playing the whole game, but the way that it happened, and it happened so abruptly, I wouldn't have been prepared if I didn't take practice serious. If I was just bitching and complaining that, oh, it didn't happen the way I want to, then I would have missed the opportunity, but I was ready for it. I was hungry for it.
Yeah.
Like, I try to preach that to kids now, because it's bound to come. Like, it's just how it is. You're going to get the opportunity. It might be the slightest bit, but you got to kick the door wide open and bust through it and make it what it's supposed to, make it what you want it.
Right.
And I feel like I got a chance to live it. I feel like that's why so many people resonate with me, because we all have that. We all come to that point where we can be going left or right. And for me, that's a dream come true. It's like, do I quit, hang it up like everybody else? Or do I go right and make sure that no matter what, I make that dream come true?
Mm-hmm.
And I just chose to go that route. And whatever life threw at me, the devil threw at me, I got closer to God in that time span. That's why I really found form my relationship with God. That's what really got me through, because I felt like I was alone for so long.
Right.
And, you know, just really everything there, that's where the real person of me really developed and formed within that dark place, bottom pit of my life right there.
Yeah.
And I give it so much credit to where I'm at today. I'm so thankful for it. I'll do it all over again if I could, just because of what I learned throughout that process.
You know, it's funny, Levante David, you know, was at a JUCO before he got to Nebraska, and he, also from Miami, was there for about a week, and he was ready to come home. I mean, he just didn't think he could push forward, and he called his mom, and, you know, she said, no, you're not coming home, you know, and it's a similar experience, you know, like where, you know, you got to find yourself and see just how much you love the game, how much you're willing to, you know, to work, to get that opportunity to get back to where you think you should be and all of that. And, you know, so there's a lot of guys, you know, Cam Newton. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have had similar experiences, right? Where they came out the other side and did just fine. And you end up at Auburn after that. A team that, you know, obviously your Seminoles beat in the national championship. But so you go there and you're still a quarterback, right? And get a chance to play in 12 games and make the one start. But you also felt like there was more, right? You felt like there was more that you could do.
Yeah, that was another kind of control situation. Winning with intentions of, you know, being the guy, I felt like I performed well enough to be the guy, and I did. But I'm saying from what I've heard from other people on my team, and I felt like I should have won it, and I didn't. But I got a chance to play every game, and I always had a mentality, you know, at that point, it was like, all right, like, when I was in JUCO, I know I should be starting, you know, I'm going to start me cool with.
Mm-hmm.
You give me about my time, I'm going to score three. And
sure.
That was my mentality.
Sure.
Mentality since really then, when I knew where I knew I should be the starting player. Why am I not starting? But you tell me I'm this type of player, you tell me I'm that type of player, I put it on film, I show it. And if you still want to limit me, cool. But I'm gonna make it to where at the end of the day the ball is not gonna, like, it's not gonna fail on my side. Like,
right.
You give me five, I'm gonna give you three. I'm gonna give me the ball five times, I'm gonna score three times. Just
sure.
So at the end of the day, it was never really, oh, is he good enough? That was never a question.
Right.
Like, I showed it.
Right.
Like,
right.
I showed it in the SEC. I showed it in national TV. I showed it at FAU. So it was like, I never wanted to fall back on me.
Right.
That's why I took that so seriously. Like, whenever I had an opportunity, I was like, hey, it's the time.
There you go.
I get the ball again, so you better make it happen now.
Right.
That's really just how I just kept going.
So you get to, a chance to kind of go a little back towards home in Boca Raton and go play at FAU. For Lane Kiffin, and again, you know, you couldn't control how much you played, but the production every time was there, right? 229 yards on just 16 rushes. I mean, that's balling when you got the shots.
Yeah, I mean, even at Auburn, like, I averaged, I think it's 10 yards every time I touched the ball. To me, I was like, hey, I'm no mathematician, but 10 yards, I think my probability of getting a first down is pretty high. So, and I ain't no coach, I ain't no GM, but I just know common sense.
Yeah.
I average 10 yards every time the ball's in my hand. I mean,
that'll work, yeah.
That's a good thing, in my opinion. So,
yeah.
That, you know, so that just got to FAU. And at the time I got to FAU, I was ready to be done with school. I was about to sit out that year and just train and be ready for the draft. That was my initial plan.
Yeah.
And then, because I was just tired of, like, you know, the game being played, and I was like, you know what? I'd rather take my chances in the league than go do it to me.
Sure,
and,
sure.
I got, you know, then that's when I did the whole position change.
Yeah.
When I remember we had Auburn and we were getting measured by the scouts and everything that come in. And one scout said, if I can do it, I will show it. And they kind of resonated with me. I thought, I need to improve. I proved myself as a quarterback. And whether they want to start me or not, I did that. He was trying to play this. So I was like, I'm going to go play receiver. Because I never wanted to play quarterback in the first place.
Right, right.
So I went and did the receiver thing at FAU. Somebody was like, you know, if you don't, yeah, you might not want to go back to school and deal with it, but at least use it to work out and get used to playing receiver. So
sure.
That's why I chose to go to FAU.
That led to opportunity. I mean, you know, undrafted, of course, in 2018, but you know, you get to the Bears and as a tryout, and now they want you to change positions again, right? They want you to try a defensive back.
Yeah, that came out from Pro Day. At Pro Day, I did 5 positions.
Wow.
I did running back drills. I did quarterback drills. I did receiver drills. My agent got me to do DB drills, and I never trained for it. I fired my first agent a week before signing day. Mm-hmm. And the second agent I was signing with was I met for the first time at Pro Day.
Wow.
And he made me do everything. Like,
wow.
Every single thing. And I give him credit for this because if it wasn't for me, like, just showing my athletic ability and versatility in that workout, I probably wouldn't even got to look at just playing corner when I've never played it before.
Right.
But because, you know, my athletic ability and just made me do it, I never trained for it. I just did it. And then I caught kicks and I caught punts at Pro Day right after all the workouts.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally did like 5 people's workout in one day. That's how I even get my first week to rookie mini camps. I was in Seattle. That was the first time I ever backpedaled. And then the next week I went to Chicago on a tryout and they signed me after.
Unbelievable.
And that's how I got into the NFL, playing a position I never played before.
Wow. Yeah, that's some kind of rare athleticism. If you can do it running backwards as well as you could running forwards, that's saying something. I know the Bucks. You know, it's funny how things work out. I mean, they've got 2 Pro Bowl receivers, and both of those guys get hurt, right, at the end of the year. And you have a chance, you know, to come in on the practice squad because they're obviously thin at receiver. You know, you're an active player. I mean, you're on the active roster by the last game of the season, so... I mean, that earns you a futures contract. That earns you this year. Just tell me about, you know, working out for the Bucks and just how comfortable you felt, you know, kind of being back here.
Well, initially I worked out twice for the Bucks. First time I worked out, I did quarterback and receiver. And after workout, I thought they were going to sign me. I mean, I did my physical and all that.
Right.
And then... they didn't end up bringing me in to check somebody else just because they were down. I think that's what Mike got hurt. So 4 weeks went by. They brought me in again, but they brought me in at DB. And it was crazy. I asked y'all if y'all wanted me to do DB when I was here. They were like, we already know what you do on defense and be good on that. So I thought, whatever. I came back and worked out again. And then they kept me that time. So started out for like 4 weeks only on defense. And then Chris went down. And then I started doing offense and defense on P-Squad. And then somebody else, something else happened to where I was just only on offense. I got moved, but I was still on P-Squad, but I was learning. I think they were going to activate me the week before the last one of the season as well. But then while I was playing receiver against, well, even Houston week, DA came up to me mid-practice and I want you to be quarterback tomorrow. And it threw me off. So I was like, one, you could have told me that later. Like, we randomly walked up to me and told me I'm going to play quarterback tomorrow. But then two, I was like, what made you think that? Like, I hadn't thrown the ball in front of y'all ever. I was like, all right, cool. Like, so the next day, I played quarterback. And after that, I mean, players remember it. They keep smiling every time you do something. I was like, they should. Like, this is where I feel like this is why I am where I am. Like, I'm on the right side of the ball right now, so I'm gonna give every reason to keep me over here. And then, so the next 2 days went by. I was just having a blast, man. Not even thinking. I was just playing ball again because it just came so natural when I had the ball in my hand. Like, I don't have to think. I ain't worried about nobody else. So I just really had fun, and then after those 2 days, they were drawing up plays for me for the next week.
Wow.
And it just kind of took off there.
You know, and B.A. is one of those guys that likes, I mean, he obviously likes versatility, right? Like, he's been waiting to find that guy that can do a lot of things, I think, in his offense, you know, that can kind of be that, you know, that Swiss Army knife guy that he can line up as a receiver, running back, quarterback, red zone, you know? It just seems like he's always been looking for that guy.
Yeah, I mean, he actually, you know, real personal with Kansas, and let me know straight up, like, you know, he's never not shied away from saying that he loved my athletic ability. I feel like I haven't seen videos of him saying it to you guys. You know, so for me, it's just really like a perfect match, just because all I ever wanted was one. I mean, I felt like I always had coaches that knew what they had in me,
mm-hmm.
but I never felt like I had coaches that weren't scared to use it. One thing I love about BA is, I mean, it took him 2 days to know that, hey, this kid is something. It's something
yeah.
he has that's not rare. Like, it's just very rare what he has. And it didn't take him long knowing that. It took him 2 days.
Yeah.
He acted on those 2 days. Like, yeah. and, like I said, like, I'm not a mathematician. It's just common sense. If I have something that I have a secret weapon, whatever you want to call it, and nobody else has, and mind you, this is the way the league is going. Like, everybody's trying to look for this type of player.
Absolutely.
So, like, he put it to use, and like, that's one thing I'm so appreciative of, that he didn't just, okay, it's like, I feel like I'm like this trophy. Like, I remember one time they said on the show, oh, he's like a Ferrari, and they were saying, like, why is it a pickup truck? But like, I'm like, who wants to keep the pickup truck? Like, everybody want to drive like a sports car. I'm like, why are they not driving a sports car? Like, they're ready. Like,
yeah, no, I get you. And like I said, talking to those guys, I think they do see something. John, you wouldn't be here. I mean, you know, there's a lot of talent on this offense, and things are getting even more exciting all the time. And you know, you talk, I think I read a quote, you know, from you, heard it maybe on a podcast, where you're talking about how, you know, this has been your dream and you're here, but you haven't gotten to live it yet. You still feel like, hey, you know, I want that moment. I want to earn that spot. I want to be one of the 61, 53, what have you, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was even telling my mom, it was like, you know, everybody, because everybody's had that opportunity to kind of see my journey from afar, and a lot of people genuinely, you know, vibe with me because, you know, I feel like my story is not just a sports story, it's a life story.
It is.
You could take my situation and apply it to anything, and it's still going to be the same.
It is.
I feel like, you know, so many people resonate with me, and I have, like, actual true fans other than, like, up and down fans. But I just, you know, my mom, I was telling my mom, like, I didn't, everybody thinks I've done so much. And, like, I get it. Like, I reflect and sit back a lot. And my family especially talked about, you know, my journey and everything. I reflect on everything. I reflect on it a lot because I'm very appreciative to where I'm at. Like, I know what it feels like to be cut three times. I know why. I've been cut in 24 hours before, like,
yeah.
So I know what it's like to be in the building, I know what it's like to be in the building and be one of the, like, 2,300 of us, and, like, that, I don't take that for granted, like, and also, you know, I told my mom, like, this year, you know, I feel so confident going in, because, one, like, I'm back to where football came easy to me, like,
mm-hmm.
It's just like how life comes full circle,
and yeah.
Like, you know, like, to me, yeah, making it into NFL, and, you know, I've been fortunate to be in NFL for 2 years, and it's great, and it might seem like a lot to everybody, but, like, I want to be legendary in the game. I want to be, you know, a face of this league. I want to be a face of the game.
Right.
And from when I'm done playing,
so sure.
Like, I got the word legendary tatted on me, like, last year, and I try to hold myself accountable of it, to live that way, to be that way. To never take advantage of the opportunities that I'm blessed with to yeah. have, you know what I'm saying? So, but I want for myself, nobody else can want anything more from me than I want for myself.
Absolutely.
I always make sure it's that way because I want myself to a higher standard than anybody else can help me to.
Absolutely. Well, it's obvious, John, you're going to be successful in your career and in your life. I mean, you know, these are all experiences that will serve you. You know, football is a game that you hope to play for a long time. Nobody gets to play it really as long as Tom Brady has. But, I mean, at some point, you're a very young man when your career is over. You know, I mean, that's the reality in this game. And a lot of times you don't get to decide when that is, whether it's injury or some other circumstance. But, man, what you've done has already molded you. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to be successful. I mean, there's no doubt about that. So it's just a matter of getting the opportunity and however that takes its shape. I mean, and like I said, I mean, these guys, they don't, I always say this to people, and they don't understand it sometimes. It's like, you know, they just don't give these jobs away, right? I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a million or millions of guys that want to do this job, and they just don't hand them out, you know? Like, it's really, really hard, you know, to get a shot, to get in an NFL training camp, to get, you know, on a practice squad, to get on an active roster. I mean, those are... You know, those are not easily accomplished things. And, you know, much less somebody that's done it, you know, the way you have through, you know, the different experiences and schools and sticking with it and, you know, all of that. I mean, it's...
People that in my situation usually don't make it out of the JUCO. Leave there from going to a big school and then going to a bigger school afterward. So, you know, that's what I try to always say, like, you know, football is not who I am, it's what I do. Like,
yeah.
I feel like this is so much bigger than me. And really, I feel like, you know, the reason I got through all that and I am where I am today is really because that's just what God had. That's my purpose, is to be that living example that when people see what does this look like, they can think about me.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Like, that's what it really looks like. They go after something that you really want, not take no for an answer. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that was my purpose of being on this earth, and I embrace that. Like, I carry that out. I feel like, you know, everybody, you know, designates something with them. I know football's going to end one day, but football's been taken away from me, so I've got past that barrier. Like,
exactly.
Still going to go on, and you still got to figure out how to get past and keep going. And, like, that's where I am. I've just been blessed to be able to be talented in that way to use this game of football in order to be that example.
There's so many guys in your business, man, they don't learn that. Some guys don't learn that ever. You know, they're not prepared to have the game end for them, and it ends for everybody. You know, no one plays as long as they want to, or you know, they all end their careers the same way. I don't care if you're talking about a Hall of Fame player, it's either injury or they replaced. You know, I mean, it's as simple as that. And you know, it's what you do, you know, with the opportunity. And like you said, you've made the most of all of it. I'm curious, is anybody on your team, I mean, have you bonded? Is there somebody that's giving you good advice along the way? Obviously you're shaped by your experiences, but like, are there any mentors, any people that's been in your corner that's helped you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good guys that I've met along the way that give me sound advice. I mean, in Chicago, I think I got a lot of sound advice from the vets. I was the rookie of all the older vets.
Yeah.
Just because of my mindset. And a lot of people already respected me coming in because it takes a lot. You know, I feel like you have to respect somebody that lives what they say they're going to do.
Right, right.
And so, you know, a lot of people, like I said, I was lucky, you know, to people knew who I was, but people respected me before they even met me.
Yeah, they knew your story.
And so, you know, coming in, like, guys like Akeem Hicks, you know, give me sound, like, you know, Kamel Mack, Kyle Fuller, Ha-Ha Quentin Dix, like, these are guys that were in the league 8-9 years, that's Tracy Mukamara, good friend, Bojack, like, these are faces of the league that are sitting here, you know, just pouring into me. You know, I'm just sitting here but they know I get it.
That's great.
I'm talking different. Like,
yeah.
Like, bro, why are you thinking like that? You just get into the league. Like, because I know this is going, like, it's bigger than the league, bro. Like, this is, I would never think that my struggle could reach the million people that watch that show.
Yeah. Isn't that something? Yeah.
But here I am, and, like, that's all I can ever ask for. Like, yeah, that hurt me during the time, and that was a real rough part of my life, but I get DMs, I get texts all the time, just people thanking me for getting them through it. And that I can't find anything on Spotify, really.
Yeah. And you got that, and that's all documented on film, man. You know, it's all there to show your grandkids one day.
And then again, I'm also like, as many of these out there, you know, I was blessed to have.
Yeah.
Actually, talk about it.
Right.
If I'm already gonna be known for, I might as well chase it and be chasing, you know.
Absolutely. No, use it as your platform, and there's the documentation, you know. So, I mean, we're all hoping that we get past this, you know, this period, this COVID thing, and everybody gets into camp, you know, on time, and They figure out a way to keep you guys safe, and it's going to be an unusual year, but a great year. I mean, hey, there's not a more relevant team in the NFL right now, right?
Exactly. That's the crazy part. I mean, I don't know why. I just feel like every time I go somewhere, it's something crazy. It's crazy.
There you go.
I'm imagining that for greatness or something. Because going to college is the national championship.
Yeah.
Go to junior college, end up on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
Went to the Sugar Bowl at Auburn. FAU, we won the conference championship since 2000.
Great things. Yeah, great things happen. You might be the missing piece here for sure.
Well, my thanks to John Franklin. Again, make sure you check out his story at TampaBay.com. Okay, over the weekend, so we got the Rays headed up to Baltimore. They need to make up some ground there as they have their 4-3 start after dropping two to Atlanta. We've got the NHL all weekend long with their qualifying play-in games. The NBA is back with their of course, postseason, and we'll get you set for Bucks training camp, which we'll be cranking up a little bit more next week. We'll have a chance, I think, to go out and watch the guys run around at least, and who knows, maybe even have an actual Tom Brady sighting and or photographs that we don't have to take from a parking lot or a dead-end street somewhere, so that'll be good. So make sure you check us out. We're here every Monday through Friday. We appreciate you guys listening. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.